Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Guess you wonder where I've been. I searched to find a love within. I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go. My friends wonder what is wrong with me. Well, I'm in a daze. From your love, you see, I came back to let you know. Got a thing for you, and I can't let go.
Good evening, Bahamas. Now, y'all know I love me some old tunes, right? Because these young people and these this new set of music, this is not necessarily my thing. So, of course, I'm going to keep it old school. Can you hear in your headset? Okay, we will sort you out in 2 seconds. Good evening, ladies and gents. It's another sexy Tuesday. I think that I set the temperature on Tuesdays. I'm a big deal, you know. I'm walking through downtown doing my modeling thing. I'm in vehicles. I'm on the radio. Yeah, I'm hosting, writing a little bit. I think I'm a big deal. I think that's what I'm going to call myself from now on. Big deal. Big deal.
Don't forget the Playboy shoot.
We cannot forget that. So tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I want to have a real conversation. Not necessarily a comfortable one. Because over the past week and a half, we've seen too many women lose their lives. Too many families shattered. Too many children left without their mothers. And in some cases, men have not only taken their lives of their partners, but they've taken the lives of their entire families and themselves. So tonight I'm speaking directly to the men, not to attack the men, not to shame the men, but to ask them what is happening inside of you that we're not talking about. All too often I have events for women and I cater to the women's needs, but am I listening to my male audience? Because somewhere between pressure, pride, and silence and ego, something is. And instead of seeking help, instead of saying, I am not okay, some of us are choosing control. We are choosing rage. We are choosing permanent disembowelment. In a moment that should have passed, it's everlasting. And we have to talk about that. We need to get to the root of the problem. When did the anger become the language? When did frustration become something you felt that you had to carry alone? When did vulnerability start to feel like weakness? Because let me tell you something, there is nothing wrong about silence that turns into a destruction. It's when silence turns into deadly destruction. There's nothing powerful about rage that ends in loss. There's nothing masculine about taking the life of another. So let's ask the hard questions. How did we get here? When did we get here? Why are we here? Did we allow our boys to grow up as mama's boys, as men, and they see things in the home, and so instead of them talking through it, they hit through it? We get here because we don't want to go to therapy, because therapy is mocked when emotions are buried and pain is numbed instead of healing. Did we get here because there's no safe space for men to say, I am overwhelmed, I am hurt, I am afraid? But here's the truth. We can't keep using silence as an excuse for violence. At some point, accountability must meet awareness. In the past week and a half, 5 women have been unalived. At some point, you have to take responsibility for your healing before the pain destroys everything around you, because help does exist. So this evening, I'm speaking with my men. And whenever they are in studio, it's always something different.
You ready?
It's always something different. So good night, Randolph.
The government man, good night.
Good night, Kevin.
Good night.
How's everybody?
Good.
I know. I feel like, no, I feel like we was reading a book.
Yeah, I have to prepare, you know? I have to prepare.
You're the only one that seems to be prepared.
I know y'all don't really need like, preparation.
This is what we talk about today.
We talking about it. We talking about everything under the sun.
This is a necessary topic.
It is.
I can tell you that.
And you work in B-Docs. Shout out to B-Docs,
yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah. Shout out to my guys.
They seem, this, well, not the inmates, right? But the
everyone.
The officers, it's a
high testosterone filled environment.
Well, the officers, when they see me now, they say, "Hi, Kenny." We already have a call on the line. We got to go straight to the calls.
Let's go. They're ready.
Caller, good evening.
Good afternoon, the Donovan sister.
That's me. Hi. I'm good. How are you?
I really thank you for coming to me right even before any of the guys get into it.
Thank you.
I just happened to turn on the jump in the car to go somewhere and hear that.
But you know, as Donovan's sister, I love it.
I wish I was in that room with you, but we can catch up on this conversation. But one of the challenges, why I reached out is because this is an area that my wife and I have been lovingly trying to navigate.
Okay.
And it is very important. But however, based on experience, what I'm realizing, hearing from my own experience and a lot of men, and just hear me for a second. A lot of times when we even come to the table to resolve issues that come with that originate out of the man or the man play a role in, it's still about resolving the issue that is affecting the woman. And I'm not saying that we ought not to have a fair and balanced approach. But sometimes, if only, if we want to really deal with men, we just got to leave the issues that are related to the women alone so that we can give the men the attention. And the reason I say that is a lot of times, as men, we do not communicate our feelings, thoughts, emotions, the whole nine yards. But for a number of us that do communicate, or for a number of us that did once communicate it, in a lot of instances, when we communicate to our female counterpart, mm-hmm. it's almost like what we are attempting to say is redefined by their perspective or their experience, and our experience is thereby just left dormant, and no one pays attention to it or acknowledges it because her perspective now overrides the circumstance or whatever it is that you're dealing with. And so in a lot of instances, as men, we're talking, but who's listening, who's truly listening to us, not to respond, but more so to understand. And so thank you.
I appreciate
you. You're doing a great job. I see all the modeling. I'm loving what you're doing. Continue the mommy hustle. And thank you for engaging as daddies and fathers and males.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much. But before you go, let me ask you this question. Do you think that women are not listening to you sufficiently? Or do you think that women are listening? Do you think that women are listening only to just respond?
I'm of the view that it's not efficient because we're not getting the resolve that we need. Hence, I say it's not efficient. However, I believe a lot of times our women are listening through their feelings, one, and then more so to respond, two. But I think if women are able to sometimes, and I'm not saying you to allow a man to be degrading to you in his tone or approach or anything of that nature. No, I'm saying sometimes just hear us beyond your feelings or be able to tone the volume on your own feelings down. And I can recall saying a lot of times that it seems as if you the voice in your head or what's in your heart or wherever it's coming from within your inner self as a woman is louder than the voice of me, the male, or the man, or the priest, or the protector that's actually speaking to you. And so in a lot of instances, men start to combat with that, and it becomes a tug of war. And it's only where self-discipline and self-control comes into the picture that we're able to step back and say, you know what? The situation or my counterpart, my female counterpart needs patience. And not frustration.
Understood.
A lot of times, as couples or individuals, we operate in frustration, particularly our women, almost to a justified point of view that I'm entitled to be frustrated, as if men are not also. And so a lot of times I think it's not in a sense of understanding where men are coming from, more so, but wanting to respond to us. And I think a lot of it is pride too, like you say, male or female, we have a problem with saying, I don't know or I need to understand.
Yes.
When in most conversations, yeah, I know what you mean. I understand. You're saying, I know this and that. So if you know, what's the sense of me trying to explain it to you? I believe relationships ought to be a classroom for as long as it needs to be until we learn to coexist in harmony that makes beautiful music that pleases both of us.
And I agree. I think that a relationship should be a classroom. Can we all agree?
Yeah.
We agree. I appreciate you. Now, listen, I am going to host an all-men's conference in October. I don't know where I'm getting the money from or the sponsorship, but we're doing that in October, okay?
We can make this happen. We can make this happen because if I'm not mistaken, I believe October may possibly, I'm not too sure, like October may be like male cancer month or something like that.
I think November.
It's November.
November. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, well, let's just do it.
And then include the bearded gang and the no bad gang and all that.
Yes.
Let's make it something really wholesome for our men.
Yes.
I believe that a lot of our relationships can heal if we help our men to heal. But a lot of times, again, when we even attempt to help our men to heal, it's almost on the basis of, you got to give me something to heal this woman over here first before you could heal you. And so a lot of times men stray away from environments that can help heal them because it's almost like I can't just come there and get focused on because unless I focus on something to do with this woman.
Okay, I love it. Now, you always call me Donovan sister, but clearly you know who I am, right? So just PM me and we can figure something out. We'll make it happen, okay?
I got you, sis. Love you. Continue to do what you're doing.
Love you, my brother. I appreciate you.
To help repair our people and families and communities at large.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank you. Gentlemen, I want to ask this question, right? In the last...
That was a lot.
Yeah, but he was on point, though.
He's on fire.
He was on point.
I agree with 95% of what he said.
Okay, and that's a lot for you, because Scott, you'd never agree with nothing.
He was spitting... Big facts.
He was spitting big facts, yeah, pure knowledge. Yeah, yeah. He was on point tonight. Yeah. Scotty, I want you and both Kevin to answer this question, right?
Right.
Because in the last week and a half, we've had 5 women unalived in the United States of America. Mm. Of course, we've had women that have been unalived here in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, right?
Mm.
But what gets a man, or what type of man puts his hand on a woman? And do you think that it's already in his mind's eye? There was a photo of this gentleman that killed all 8 of his, unalived all 8 of his children, right? And you could look at him and you can see that something was wrong in his eyes. But what could get you to frustration to put your hand on a woman? What type of man puts his hand on a woman? I have to take my coat off. I can hear it get warm.
Well, that for me, that kind of hard because you
that's
know,
a
you
tough know, question.
Because you know, I have a lot of females in my family, and they do get on my nerves. But I think best way I could answer that is, you know, a real man would know how to deal with his own emotions, not to get to that point to where he got to hit a woman or put his hand on a female. Period.
Yeah.
Secondly, I mean, if for me personally, I mean, yeah, I've gone to the point where I look at a woman and say, I tell her, but you need to behave. I could buck your head to the wall or do something.
Jesus,
but I mean, it's my peace of mind is worth more. And I realize that, you know, silence ain't nothing more satisfying to me than watching a woman run on and you just sit there and you don't say anything. And she realizing that she ain't getting to you, she'll eventually stop and leave you alone. Some women, when they see that tactic don't work, then they try something else. I think you have to find the piece to be able to understand, you know, she's trying to push my buttons, but I could be bigger than that. Granted, you might be mad inside, but you have to be able to control it. And if you get to that point where you feel you can lose control, that's when you need to get rid of the situation.
But Scotty, what if the woman isn't pushing your buttons and you just feel because that you are the man and you have the masculine energy and you have the muscles and you have the bravado that you are going to invoke yourself and put your hands on someone? She may not be saying anything to you. She may just simply be saying what you do not want to hear. And you grab her and you put your hands on her. What type of man does that?
Again, this area, I'm not the expert in it, but I could say that.
None of us are experts in this particular area.
But I'd say that this particular person, that's something that they really need to, like the overall topic, find some help. They need to see what's going on, really, to why would you let... Yes, you have the physical strain over a female, yes. Yeah. But if you get to the point where you let her words get to the point where... Or even her actions, or even just you just looking at her and be like, you know what, I don't like this woman.
Scotty, I find out, Scotty, you and I have a relationship. You mean you are married, right? And I confront you and I said, Randolph, I hear you you're checking Cindy, and you and I get into an argument, and you put your hands on me.
Now let's stop it. It's how you approach me now.
What?
If you approach me with an energy where you want a confrontation, if you just say, okay, whatever, yeah, you
come on now, Scotty, stop the nonsense.
I can see.
Come on, let's be real.
No, but I mean, you know, most times the conversations don't go that calm. You come in with the anger, you come in, you throwing stuff, you hitting, and the man trying to figure what's going on. And a lot of times, a lot of men might react differently. You know, women hit, and even when a man say, stop, some women just keep hitting. You ain't get me. And then they get to that point where the man say, stop. And then he turn around, he swing on her. Then everyone's shocked. Oh, I can't believe he hit me. But you was hit. He tell you stop. So I think, again, this subject is one that's touchy because you always...
You always say the wrong thing.
Yeah,
you don't want to say the wrong thing. But, the reality of it is, it could happen.
I listen to boy, dog.
Right.
That's tough.
This is, I mean, because...
But hold on. Let's time out. Let's have honest conversation, right?
Okay.
You, in order for you to break the cycle, in order for you to confront your issues. You can't conquer what you can't confront. So let us have the let's be honest.
Well, I can tell. Let me say this.
But let's say you don't even know.
If you
You don't know.
I was raised. Keep your hands to yourself.
I wasn't raised that way. I was raised like this.
You can't boast the man in the air.
No, that's what I was raised
with
on.
With a cup and tell him
this what I
you
was
boys
raised.
He ain't supposed to hit
no.
girls.
Right.
You can't do that.
That's what I was raised on.
You
I was
can't
boast
him in the head first no. and then confront him about why you boast him in the head afterwards.
No, I was raised on this. In terms of going to school, if someone hit you, you went them back. And when my mommy reached the school or daddy reached the school, we'll deal with it then. But I wasn't. Okay. I never saw violence in my home, so that wouldn't be something that is normal.
Right.
But I feel like women see the tendencies in men, and they know that these men, you see the red
you
flags.
See the, you know they see six flags.
What
they see roller coasters and
I can't
fun,
take it tonight.
The chaos, the drama, the thrill. They don't see boring or stability. They don't love
women,
that.
You think some women thrive off of,
they love
I
that.
Just want him to scheme on me.
They love that. Yes. Yes.
Kevin.
There are some women that love foolishness.
They love, as women are
if we're going to be honest about
boring,
it, that's the truth.
If you're a boring dude,
If you are predictable, you come home, you work an honest job, you lay up in the couch, you play game, you don't get nobody business, that's a problem.
Yeah.
If they know where you is and they can hunt you down or keep tabs on you, that's boring.
Drive the Honda dead fast to find you.
Yeah, if you won't rest in the firearm on the blazer, on the dresser.
Pull up like plantation, see you sitting at the bar like, what the hell is this?
Like that chaos, that is do something. Yeah,
not that ever happened.
I'm just saying. Some
I believe it happened to you, Randolph.
Kenny, some women love foolishness.
Some women love foolishness.
Now, for the set that makes sense, they are not deserving of that type of behavior from a man.
Right.
But
right.
It all boils back to men because it's a cycle. And if you don't have a man in the home to teach emotional self-control or self-discipline, he can respond to you like a woman. That's why men are important. When you have men who beat girls, that's a womanish reaction.
Yeah.
A man that beats a woman is a womanish man?
Yes.
Kevin has been consistent with that. And
I've been saying that.
When you have a lot of women in this country, unfortunately, they trying to raise these boys.
They just respond like gals.
You see them out there all in the streets yelling, screaming. So these boys see their moms kind of like that. So as far as they're concerned, that's how I need to deal with my stuff. And they got, that's a woman. And I hate, if any man get mad, that's fine. That's a woman's, only a woman is run on with a woman.
That's
a man
true.
Don't run on.
That's womanish behavior.
So if you running on with, if you out there running on with woman,
use a woman.
Use a woman.
I don't care who man, but that's the truth.
That's facts.
That's big facts.
No man is
man
run on with
woman. Man don't run on with woman.
Man don't run on with woman.
All right, let me ask this question. At what point does frustration turn into anger for you? And do you recognize the warning signs before you react? My phone is busting open.
I see that.
I can tell you that women, the Bible says it's better for a man to be on the roof.
On the roof.
Than to deal with a nagging woman. Bahamian dialect, yes. Go leave, don't run out with her.
Yeah.
Right.
Don't run out with her.
Don't run out.
And I go back to say, if you run out with gals, use a gal.
Exactly.
The Bible provides a clear solution. Go on the roof. Get your ladder from EID. Shout out to them. We need some sponsorship. Go on the roof.
Right, right. What do you think, Randall?
I agree. Like I said, I don't run out. I have a thing where I tell my son, I say, look, you got to know how to remove yourself from that equation.
Yeah.
Remove yourself from the equation. Yeah. So why you see they running on? You know, guess what?
And that's the manly thing to do because men are not we're not responsive emotionally. We think about choices. If I punch this girl and bust her head on the wall, she get in the police, I get in the jail. I don't think all that true before I decide to hit her. That's what men do. We process the actions before we make it. A woman's response is, I can punch him face, whatever happens, happens.
Yeah. That is what I think.
Yeah.
That's how a woman is operating.
I do agree. I have a question though, Randolph.
Mm-hmm.
You come in here with this ring on this hand today. What does this mean?
Oh, no, that's, anyway.
Wait, Gary, don't mess that.
I
didn't
even see that.
That's the mace, that's the Masonic Lodge ringing.
That is usually worked the wrong way.
Yeah.
I watching you, Randolph. You're getting the demure.
No, that's just, I saw this in my drawing, but that's in a while. My mother recovering, she got a little thingam, so I said, let me wear this ring today. That's all.
All right, Scotty, I'm watching you, friend. All
watch
right.
me much.
No.
Have you ever felt like you were losing control of a situation in your relationship, and how did you handle it? Did you find that you had to get loud and call out a name? When a man says you, B-I-T-C-H, when they get to that point, is it a total lack of respect, or it is just you're saying that, or do you think men say that to settle the woman down?
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you say if you in a situation where you it's out of control and you're trying to, you call a woman the B word.
Yes.
Well, I mean, if it's a situation where you got a real toxic person, they freaking themselves like that, I mean, again, I find that it's one good solution to calm a woman down.
We all know what that is.
I laugh when you say agree.
We all agree?
Yes,
agree as well.
Just make a touch of toes, that's all.
I just
think that men cannot pour from an empty cup.
Neither can women. You know how much we pour
but
on a daily basis?
The way society is setting this up,
right?
Men operating on empty.
Yeah.
We have women empowerment, women conference, tea parties. What men is up?
So, what y'all is up?
You don't know that.
And that's a real point. I don't know that. Watch one for Mother's Day.
Oh my God.
I say this all the time.
Celebrated mother of the year. More than Christmas.
I get so upset when I look at Armbilly Park and they get all these things.
They have a whole Mother's
Day. Wendy's be giving up Mother's Day for everybody. And when Father's Day come up, one commercial.
Crab.
One commercial.
Crab.
But what y'all deserve? What y'all supposed to get?
Kenny, what you talking about?
I just asking.
But the fact that you have to ask that question means something wrong.
No, I don't know what y'all want.
This is why, like no, you said, this is why the man is frustrated. Nah, because y'all don't appreciate the real fathers.
I appreciate real fathers.
Kenny,
I have a real father. I just want to know.
The coin can be one-sided.
Right, but what would you like to have?
Father. You started out asking what
you want.
Like, how women, first let me say this. We need women who understand, like who listen to understand and not listen to respond, listen to be defensive, listen to win an argument.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because a lot of men really just want to be heard.
Right.
A lot of men are suffering in silence.
Right.
They don't have no friends.
Do you think that's why men have sweethearts? Because they find someone to listen to?
Well, if she rubbing his head, giving him some other head, and just baby tell them all the right words.
But I want you to know something though. As a man having a sweetheart, if a man have a sweetheart, you know that he telling this woman the things that his wife don't do. So the woman will always have the upper hand.
Kenny,
so she knows what she has to
Kenny,
do.
We deviating from what this really about.
No, but I'm pinpointing something specific, Kevin.
Kenny,
you can't
listen,
bring the sweetheart conversation.
I bring
to me.
The sweet conversation to you because listen, I can keep you doing your job.
Really?
Yes. The sweetheart position
should never be existing if you was doing what you had to do.
Go ahead, Randolph, say it.
Remember I say, you're giving up your position.
I know you was going to say.
He been consistent with that too.
Can I read the text, please? I can't take you all tonight. I would like to share a different perspective that violence is a symptom of another issue. What has become normal is toxic behavior within relationships. Let me read this next text. Kenny, I could speak a paragraph or two on what it means to be beaten by your husband. I survived it, and I'm here to tell the story. Whenever you're ready for the conversation, invite me to the show. Love, Sarah.
See, okay. What I'm saying is a lot of women could identify with domestic violence, and a lot of women are victims of domestic violence.
Yeah, a lot.
Do you think that there are any men?
Of course. I deal with them every day.
Yeah.
Seriously, I work at the prison. I can tell you, they there.
But
they exist.
The thing about it is, again, like
the avenues there. Men don't have avenues where they feel comfortable. If I go to the station and tell them somebody raped me or somebody beat me, they can run me out there.
Okay, let me ask you something. Why are we so insensitive to y'all?
I gotta ask y'all because when we cry, y'all tell us shut up and men don't cry.
Men don't cry.
But is that what we told y'all? Is that what your mother
what
told you?
Boys are taught.
Did your mother tell you that or did your daddy say, oh, my
God? Daddy
don't cry.
Was in there. So who else was telling us it?
Mommy was telling you.
All right then.
My grammy done me that.
All right then. And that's the issue because men are.
But do you have tear ducts, Randolph?
I do. No, I mean, my grammy said, you don't ever let a woman see you cry. You're the man. The man's supposed to be the leader, the shield. The rock, you don't ever.
I don't agree with that because
when my father died, I didn't. I tell you this, it didn't hit me till my father died, and it didn't hit me till the NBA season the following year. And I saw. I'm going to go call him myself. Let my dad. That's when it hit me. Wow. And I had my moment, and I sat down and had my little corner, cried, drink couple, you know, went and it's still someday that I have my moment. I sit down, but. How I was raised. See, like, the thing about that we come in here and we talk, we come from a generation where we raised and we program and our whole existence different from this generation coming
up. Yeah, they're wired differently. Right. Their perspective on things are different.
Their work ethic is trash.
It is.
That's a whole different
ballgame. Yeah, that's a different conversation.
But I'm going to stick to this and say that because men aren't being taught emotional intelligence or how to navigate feeling emotional is weird and foreign when you get into real serious relationships.
Yeah,
but I think that that's the downfall then of your parental institution because
yeah, but if you don't have no parental institution, like I said, lack of fatherhood
and the lack of fatherhood is one thing. But what happens when you have a father in the home and you still turn around and you put your hand on someone? Or what happens when you say you want to break?
Then
the
your
cycle?
Father failed you.
Your daddy failed you, yeah. And guess what?
He did.
Your mommy
because
failed you before
you,
that.
If you were raised with a man in the home that you never saw put his hands on a woman, and you still go there against his principles that he would have taught you through example of you never see him be, yet you going out of the institution that he put down to be the woman, he failed. Yeah. And he'll be disappointed in you, and there should be consequences for that.
I want to know something from a male perspective. If you had to sit down and write a SWOT analysis, or if you had to sit down and write your pros and your cons about speaking to your significant other, do you think that they would outweigh just being silent?
But
Kevin, you contradicting what you're saying. You want to have the conversation. You want the healing. You want the conversation, but you prefer to be quiet as opposed to telling them what the issue is.
Let me tell you this: I live in the Bahamas, and this is a real world. I'm speaking with my significant other. I just speaking on behalf of all men, like I try to always do.
Right.
From a general standpoint. Most men would tell you they prefer to suffer in silence than to go to their wife and say, this is what I'm doing. Because 9 out of 10 times they tell you, and I got the inbox to show you, they can say, she responded and turned the whole thing around and self-centered about her. And she'll tell you, well, you do this, so that's why I do this.
But
and
not,
he ain't looking for that. He's just looking for, I hear you. I try to understand. Can you break this piece down for me so I could work on this and do better?
Well, remember something you said when we did the live show that I could touch on. Why a lot of men? Because their women, they get betrayed by the females in the sense where
they
open up themselves and they say, hey, baby, blah, blah, blah. And then that woman, instead of him feeling he put down his guard, vulnerable, share, open his heart to the woman. And she turn around and what she do? Go talk to her girlfriends, laugh, talk with them. And then, so now he's out and they looking at him all funny. Like, oh, I didn't know you had that problem. Oh, I hope everything all right. And now he looking at her like, well, that was our conversation.
That was a,
how
that
did
was
you
a,
get these other people right. in our conversation?
So when you see, and that happens a lot. So a lot of men just say, you know what? Like Kevin just say, I'd rather just keep to myself, deal with my problems myself. Then I have to try to share with this one.
Yeah, because you don't want, because another thing too is rowdy. We using the vulnerable versions of our men as ammunition for when rowdy come. You know, because women, best weapon in their hands is their tongue.
Yeah.
And you ought to say some things that really cut deeper than a sword.
Yeah.
And so, instead of risking getting that emotional scar or verbal abuse, which is the term, he rather just keep it to himself because he doesn't know the weapon he dealing with inside those.
Kenny, that's a big fact. A lot of women,
a lot of men are scared to talk to their partner
because they know that that'll come back to them, and then all what we've been talking about earlier, that'll probably set them over the edge.
Let me read these texts. I agree with your guests. Some women like toxic relationships that when men hit them, it turns them on. And I believe that if a man hit a woman, they are anti-women, like Rodney Monker would say.
Shout out to Rodney.
Rest in peace.
May he rest in peace. Kenny, I want you to have this conversation on a broader platform for about 4 hours, because the men aren't going to get the real topic or the real issue right away. Men that put their hands on women are less than. Look at what happened in the U.S. We had 4 deaths, 1 Haitian woman, and a man that killed himself and then killed the children. When are we going to look at what happens for us to make what has happened for us to make a real change? I want us to understand something as well. When men don't get the help that they need, it becomes a systematic problem for all of us in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
You're right. Okay. Because at the end of the day, the end result is jail.
Yep.
I always tell guys, if you as parents fail to raise your sons, the system will do it for you.
And that's not the way you want them to be raised.
No, I would never want my kid to come to prison. But if you don't raise your kid, they have to come to prison.
They have to.
Yes.
We're gonna take a break. The text line getting a little steamy. Right. We're going to take a break and we're going to be back. You're listening to Kenny's Corner. And we're talking about domestic violence. You had 5 women in the United States of America that were unalived within the last week and a half. And we have had numerous women in New Providence, in the family violence that have been unalived. I'm talking this evening about men and mental health and the fact that they really have no outlet. You have women empowerment, you have events for women, and you have things that, but is there a place for men to have a sacred conversation? Is it their trusted partner? Is it a friend? Is it the barbershop? We'll be back. You're listening to Kenny's Corner.
We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30, and no one knows she'll be there. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays a favorite. Mrs. Jones.
This is the National Youth Guard program designed to train young people to help the Bahama Islands in times of disaster.
I decided to join to better serve my country as well as to better myself.
We train the help in search and rescue,
electrical, plumbing, and carpentry,
and things that they can actually expand on in their careers.
Young people who join the Youth Guard program discover a sense of identity, a sense of purpose, and a sense of patriotism.
This program isn't about only the individuals. It is about the country.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texting, texting, texting.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
You try to rest, but roll with the best. For all your printing needs, there ain't no one better, no. For posters and banners, magazines and flyers. For window decals, greeting cards and newsletters. No job too big and there's no job too small. You name it, we can print it, just give us a call. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. This program contains mature content and may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Walk together near the ocean shore, hand in hand, you and I. Let's cherish every moment we have been given. For time is passing by. I often pray before I lay down by your side. If you receive your calling before I awake, could I make it through the night?
Good evening, we are back. You're listening to Kenny's Corner. And that is Cherish the Love by Kool and the Gang. That was one of the many songs that Mike listened to. I would often see them when we had our Garden Hills home. They would, you know, do a little dance. And we had a big, big record player. And well, me and Daddy would be dancing, or if they were at the Banana Boat reunion. And oh boy, it really makes you think about love. But tonight we're talking about men and the fact that there is no safe space for them to have their emotions and their needs met. In the last week and a half, there were 5 women unalived, and we want to talk about what is really happening in our society. There are 5 women in the United States that were unalived, and this has happened here in New Providence as well, but it's a prevalent problem. It's domestic violence at its worst. We have callers and text. Are we able to take a caller? Caller, good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Yes, I'm calling. I just got into the vehicle and I heard you talking about domestic violence.
Yes, sir.
And something that the gentleman said in connection with training, the father's training, mm-hmm. I want to just point out to our nation, being a domestic violence specialist in the Bahamas, We cannot use a name, blame, or point anything. Domestic violence is a disease, and like every illness, it needs to be dealt with right on the spot. But yes, men go through domestic violence also. Men are abused also, but because we have not trained or taught us how to handle it, and so one of the things that I have done is I made sure, make it my business to see the Commissioner of Police and to check with the stations that men can come in and have a safer space even in the station. So now the commission is working towards, and they don't now have a domestic violence unit that's headed by Assistant Superintendent Kendra Williams. They have a whole unit for that now, and they're working into allowing men that take space. They don't laugh at them anymore. And they're working on it. Of course, you won't have every police officer not saying it the same way, but they're working towards that. So I just wanted to give a little hope that, yes, there is male being abused. There are males being abused, but it's changing. They're getting to that space. And one of the reasons why men don't talk, because men talk. I like to use that quote. Men talk a lot. Men can sit down hours and talk with persons who they find a safe space, but we're not teaching each other how to deal with domestic violence, because we, as men, really do not know how to deal with it. And that's why we have created those kind of spaces where men can really talk and share their experience without somebody else finding them to be wrong. Because for the most part, most of the men are bigger than the women. But if they ever retaliate, then they get charged with murder.
Let me ask you something.
What do you do? Do you get charged with murder, or you just keep running?
Let me ask you a question. You made a comment, and you said that women do not create safe spaces for their men. Or where they find safe spaces, they are able to talk.
Women don't create. That's what your caller said.
Right.
That's what your guest said. And women talk about whatever they want when they tell it to their other friends. No, I didn't say that. I said we have not, as men, we have not created that kind of safe space for each other to be safe or feel comfortable in the midst of men talking.
But I understand you better now. Okay, so let me ask you a question. How do you go about creating a safe space for men to communicate?
Well, right now, one of the things that I look at as men dealing with that is you just have to identify not the space, but identify the disease. If you can see domestic violence as a disease, then just how you have a headache and you get medication for it or backache, you now find a medication. And if the medication is to just talk, it doesn't matter who or what they do, you need to get cured from that disease. So you have to be big enough as an individual to say, you know what, despite whatever I'm going through, I'm at the place now where I have to meet me where I am before I end up behind bars for whatever reason.
So you think talking through it is one way that we can look at healing and solving the issue?
Yes, because when you look at the thing about counseling is not to see how smart the counselor is, but it's for the individual to hear themselves. There's a lot of times when you don't talk. Yeah, if you want to use scripture, faith comes by hearing. If you're able to hear when you say something, things will change. But if you keep it in your head, you're not really hearing it. So you have to say it aloud. You know, I am a victim. Mm-hmm. I am going through this. I am seeing this. This is happening. That is happening. When you start to say it, then you will hear where you are. So now you can start talking to others. Because if you don't trust yourself, one of the word simply means to confide in. And if you don't confide in you first, you won't confide in anybody else.
Thank you.
So once you confide in you, then you say, you know what, since I can trust me to say this, now I can trust me to say it to somebody else. Whether they talk about it, whether they treat me different or not, I still need to, I need to be healed.
I need to purge. I need to get this off my chest.
Exactly.
Okay. I thank you for that. Thank you so much. Thank you. We appreciate you 100%. Do we have another caller, Chris? Good evening, caller. You're on. Hello? Hello?
Was that an accident?
Caller?
Yeah.
I guess they'll call. He's there. Good evening, yeah, caller. You're on.
Hello. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good evening.
How are you? I'm actually I was multitasking, taking care of my grandson as well. I'm taking him back to his dad right now.
Oh, I love that. Congratulations for that.
And this evening is even when I play table tennis.
Oh.
But as I was about to step out, I said I must call in because it's very sad about what happened, not just in the States recently. There's a very prominent man who killed his wife. The presence of his child.
Yes.
And then the other man who killed 7 children, or at least all of those were his, and he killed them.
Yes.
And so that's very, very bad. But I endorse the point that was made that men that hit women are acting womenish.
Yes.
Because one of my former students, a college student, I taught in college back in the days, And he told me, he said, definitely you don't row with women. And one of your co-hosts did mention that a man that rows with a woman is acting like a woman himself. You know, sorry about that. But I'm very, very, very sad and very selfish. And it's also, sometimes not all men can handle stress. I wish I was around that those two gentlemen that did those errors to give them some guidance as to how to cope.
Yeah.
I've seen in at South Beach Clinic, one in the police station, there were so many areas of this clinic where this woman gave this man some punch and all whatnot. And all he did was drove out they were in the same truck together, right? He was so embarrassed that he drove off quickly, so that, it don't become a scene where people would actually get to see his face and know what he was going through. And there are young men right now going through some very disrespectful situations with their so-called perfect wife. So it's a combination of a lot of counseling, a lot of things really needed, and men really need also to be brothers and stick together and share some of their worries, their concerns, and not just end their own life or end somebody else's life. And not the children's life or the wife's life or the spouse's life or the significant other partner life. So
absolutely.
There's a lot to be done.
Thank you
and
so
I'm
much.
Happy that I'm going so long, but I'm happy that the officer called in and said that provision is made.
Yes.
To accommodate men.
Yes.
And because sometimes men go when people hear that a man going to report that his wife scratch him or claw him or something of the sort, they would laugh at him, you know. Sometimes, back in the day, some people would laugh at him and say, man, what kind of man you are? You know?
Big fox.
But we need to teach even our boys right now.
Yes.
To be respectful, and also our girls to be respectful to each other.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Thank you so much for that call, and I appreciate you for calling in. Enjoy table tennis.
It's not going to be hard, though, I can't lie. Remember what I said now? We need a unified effort. It's space. When we say safe space, it ain't necessarily a building
or
a place. Some people need that. You got to break these things down.
No, it's not a brick and mortar. Know? It's not a brick and mortar. We have another caller.
Right.
Caller, good evening. You're on.
Hey, Candice.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. Thank you. How are you?
Female.
I'm wonderful. And good day to your guests.
They are so excited to hear a female caller.
Good day. I always love it when women is gone.
What I wanted to add is I start talking about helping men through whatever it is that they're going through.
Yes.
And the gentleman who called was talking about having a headache and needing to take pills or medication.
Yes.
But do you know there are things you can avoid that headache?
Like what?
Okay. Why don't we start from the boys? We teach them. So as they grow,
yes,
the good prison officer won't need to, you know,
raise them
in his prison.
Yes.
How about that?
I agree.
We agree.
So
we agree.
All of the gentleman who was the other gentleman who called and was talking about being able to help men, counsel them, and he's in talks with the commissioner and different persons. We need to go lower than that. Let's start with the boys. And if we do that, we teach them how to cry. We teach them how to speak up when something happens to them.
So we
will get to this point.
I think I agree with you. But do we start it in infancy, in the embryonic stage? Do we start it when we realize that a single mother, now there's a difference between being a single mother and a single woman. Do we start it at an embryonic stage and we say to the women, hey, I see that you have a young man or young male in the house. If you need assistance, if you need mental coaching, if you need life coaching, this is where we are and we can help you. Do you think that is something that should be done? Or if you see a parent in the schoolyard, you know the little boy's rambunctious. The mother can't control him. You've never seen a visible daddy.
You have women that will tell you.
I kind of disagree with the fact that the mother can't control him. You know,
talk.
I'm speaking from a point of where I have a girl and two boys.
Right.
And yes, they have a father. But I generally was the primary controller.
Okay.
And my boys are men.
And they treat women. They treat women well.
You understand? Because
yes, ma'am.
I show them by example, showing them example of other young men around the community, and asking them as they go, this is where you want to be, this is where you see yourself, this is how you want to be.
But let me say
so
this, though.
So they learn from that.
Respectfully, Carla.
Pardon me?
I say respectfully, Carla, it's still things that you as a woman still can imprint on, that a man can imprint on him. So.
And I 100% agree.
So kudos to you. Kudos to you for
men,
you did it. Yeah.
From primary school, having classes. You know, don't ask who want to come. Go and speak with the principal and say, listen, we want to see all the grade 1 boys today. We want to see all the grade 2 boys today. And take, just some air in that tire there.
She's a very wise woman.
And then you go from
there
like that.
She is, I like what she's saying, but the challenge with that, though, Carla, being in the education system myself, the problem is culture-wise, and I don't want to make it political, but our government has made it where the teachers can't teach like they used to when we were smart. You can't get the kids can't get disciplined. Parents come to the school to fight the teachers. So you have this disconnect where the teachers really don't care so much about the well-being mentally about these kids. You know, parents know that their kids rude, and they expect they send these kids out, and their training might not be like what you did with your kids. But at the end of the day,
and I agree with that, because I had a conversation with a teacher before, and I said, "Man, when my son was my oldest was in school, the teachers seemed to care more.
Yeah.
They were more concerned. You know,
the system isn't set up now where it's conducive for teachers to actually to nurture the kids like you and I and everyone inside the studio came up."
But the cost of living doesn't necessarily dedicate
no,
to caring.
No, but I was
going to
say that we're not. It isn't just the educational system. We're deviating, not deviating. We have deviated from the village mindset.
It isn't
just on teachers being able to beat kids. Because if my neighbor tell my daddy I do something,
that's a cut hip.
The neighbor could beat me. Tell daddy could beat me.
Yep. Right.
So like, there's been a cultural shift. Where discipline is not the order of the country.
Yeah, you see, look at all the videos out there with these kids fighting. I mean, you know.
That's a reflection of your household.
Yeah. Look at the video. I don't call a school that out there.
I would break my daughter to powder if she ever. I said it on national. Layla, you know your daddy don't play with that because the words are in her phone. You know.
Not just that, too, They videotape each other, which make the war never stop.
They can videotape a daddy cutting that. Anyway, what's going on?
Right. We appreciate you, Carla. Thank you so much for calling in.
Yeah.
Yes, you're welcome.
Have a blessed evening. Do we have another caller, Chris? Good evening, caller. You're on.
Hi.
Oh, we got 2 for 2.
Another woman.
Hi.
God is good.
Hi.
I enjoyed this.
I wanted to say I heard a lot about, how women perpetuate, how men are supposed to be.
Is this the wife of the husband that called?
No.
Oh. Okay.
I don't like to hear that whole story. Yeah.
Listen, I think the wife of that husband, I think they have excellent communication.
I think so.
You could tell that by this delivery, they have excellent communication. Yeah. But go ahead, call her. Sorry.
How many women uphold I would say maybe the patriarchy, but we don't talk a lot about how men uphold the patriarchy that they basically kind of created, meaning, women are people who say, if this is how a man is supposed to act, but this is something that they were also taught. This is something that they are not given, or it's something that they created themselves, but this is something that rather they were given to perpetuate by their men that they are dating or their fathers or the men that are around them. So I would like to know, why is it, or how is it that we can make men more responsible for the patriarchy that they uphold? Because, again, I have friends that are males, and I fight tooth and nail to flip the standard to show them how they are victims. I have a friend who was basically sexually assaulted when he was in high school, but the sentiment is, oh, my God, I got that, I'm not a victim because I got somebody who was out of my league. And I had to flip it in the inverse. And I was like, okay, so if that was a female student and a male teacher, he was like, oh, automatically that's abuse. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so do you see the correlation?
Yeah, I do. I agree.
Do you see it? Yes. You see it?
Yeah. It's a double standard.
Yeah, it is double standard.
Is that a double standard?
It is double standard because of, like, call an uncle. You have a female, right? And the female is older and sexy and whatever else. Mm-hmm. And she has a young boy. Mm-hmm. That's she's a cougar. But when you have an older man and a younger girl, like, he's seen as a pet.
I call all them predators. I don't care what nobody say. He's a predator.
Carla, are we funneling down the right tunnel?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
He's a predator because if my daughter bring home my co-waker, because you cannot bring my co-waker home to me and say, Daddy, this is my boyfriend. No. That's your man friend.
Right.
And you should not be with him.
Right.
He's a predator.
A lot of people still engage.
I'm 62 years old and you bring a silver fox in the same fox house?
No way. But Carla, let me ask you something. What generation do you fall in?
Gen Z.
Oh, gosh.
Gen Z. Why did you say
over? Because you guys are different.
You're doomed, babe.
I want to know, like, right?
Yeah.
Do you, when you think of your moral standard, let's start with your work ethic.
She sounds very different, though.
She sounds very different. She sounds very polished.
I don't put it in that category.
I won't.
I wouldn't think she was Gen Z if she started talking about that.
But let me ask you, when you think of your work ethics, right, do you think that if you're not getting what you need to get on a job, you are quick to leave?
Of course. I feel like we should, hear me out. I feel like the older generation had the mindset of endure and survive. And I feel like our generation is more like, hey, like, we deserve rights and we have needs and we have emotional needs as well. So it doesn't make sense to make money to the point where you're putting your body in emotional distress. And correlating with physical stress, because a lot of people don't understand the studies and the research in which your emotions are actually very much tied to your physical well-being. That's why stress is the leading cause of a lot of other different types of diseases, including cancer.
I hear it.
So it's very important that...
The studies.
No, but it's very important that you put your emotions...
We are with you. We are 100%
with you. We're with you.
We ain't leaving you. No woman left behind. We're here.
No man or woman left behind.
No man or woman.
No, but I'm saying, like, the difference between then and now is drastically different. We have options today.
Yeah.
We don't have to enjoy this one government job.
Right.
Because there are multiple jobs.
No, but they're not multiple jobs. I don't agree that they're multiple jobs.
No, the mindset is, I don't have to take this.
Okay, that's the mindset. Because
I could get something better.
Yeah.
Or I could get something to see him with better treatment.
And less headache and pressure.
So that's what they believe, and so that's what they do.
Now, let me ask you something, right? Caller, do you think that the men that are in your particular circle, do you think that they are overly in touch with their emotions? Or are they not in touch at all?
I think they're in touch with their emotions, and they're growing even more still. I feel like, for example, whenever I talk about my friend group, my female friend group, I could tell you the last time they cried. I could tell you what is their biggest fear currently. I could tell you a lot of emotionally heavy-weighted things. And I find that within a lot of men subset groups, they can't really tell you anything about their male friends on an emotional level. They can't even really tell you where they work. So I feel like the friends within my circle, because I guess maybe the generation is getting more in touch and in tune with understanding how important emotions are, not just within relationships, but within your own dynamic. Because realistically, however you treat yourself is how you're going to treat other people.
But I want you to know, y'all are the softest, most in-touch people I've ever come across.
But you know what I want to know? Would you talk to one of those sensitive men?
Yeah, would you talk to a sensitive guy?
I would prefer to be honest.
No, I mean, not before. Would you date if...
She said she'd prefer to. That's a yes.
Not any yes.
That's a yes, buddy. She just said she has.
Oh, she has. Okay.
Yeah.
I'd say this. You can't make a man do anything.
Listen, the only man... You can't
make nobody do nothing they
friend,
don't want to do.
The only way to keep a man is a man who wants to be kept. You can't keep nobody.
I agree.
You can't keep nobody.
When it comes to making men emotional intelligent, that's like a proposal for marriage.
Oh, God. Let me ask.
No, I don't think it's that deep. Like I said, I think because of that stipulation and that mindset is why it feels so far away. And it's not even that deep. Sometimes it's just actually asking questions and actually just listening. Not listening to respond, but listening.
Exactly.
To understand.
So let me ask
you. Encouraging the people around you. Because, again, a lot of people don't understand the ways their friendship dynamics work. So they are very surface level, but encouraging your friends and family to go to therapy so they could have a deeper understanding of themselves.
I was going to ask you about the therapy. I was going to ask you therapy, right? And I'm going to ask you another question. Do you think, I'm going to ask you a double fold question. Do you think that you, in your generation, do you think that you create safe spaces or how do you create a safe space for your person? And do you believe in therapy?
I do believe in therapy. I believe that there are also different types of therapy because me, myself, I've actually never been to an actual therapist,
mm-hmm.
but I've done so much self-help and self-healing that I know more about myself, not just emotionally, but also physically because of it as well. So there are different types of therapy. You can do self-help, but again, you have to be very realistic and honest with yourself.
And if you had to create a safe space, let's say, and I'm not judging if you date men, women, or whatever you date. I'm just asking, do you think that you create a safe space for your partner?
From what I've been told, not just even from my partner, for strangers as well, people would just randomly tell me, they literally would say, I don't even know why I'm telling you this. I don't normally talk about this with people, and it's because I literally say it's probably because this is what you felt like saying, but you never felt like you had the space to say it.
But she sounds like she exudes empathy.
Yes,
and inviting.
She almost sounds like a nun. And I see Chris in the back there, Chris smiling. Chris, you identify with what she's saying, eh? Because Chris and I are the same generation.
No, but she sounds like a person who...
She don't sound like a 90s person.
She sounds like a person who... would sit there and be like, uh-huh, that's what you did? Like, she would...
you want to find it?
Like, she would listen to your... She would listen to what you're going through, and she might know you from a cannabis.
And make you like a pot chicken
and
pot pie.
That might be her gifting, you know?
That's her gifting.
But I would say this, that when I say a marriage proposal, I'm talking about the men, because a lot of times men don't know that we're oblivious to a lot of stuff.
Really?
We can't read your mind, so judge our own mind.
but we don't require you to read our mind.
We just simply require you to talk.
You start that, Kevin.
I don't know any woman that requires you to read her mind.
Anyway, you know what, caller? It's been real. Scotty,
don't run the show. This is my show. Caller, don't you leave.
Don't require us to read your mind?
We don't require you to read our minds.
We can stick to this.
As women, and just people in general, we don't require you to read our minds, you know. We actually just require you to listen, because most of the things that you think we believe that you need to read our minds for, we've already stated.
Man.
But you don't engage listening, so you don't remember.
See, caller.
Give Chris your number before you hang up this phone. We bringing you to the show.
Yeah, I was feeling caller, but nah, she sound like a typical woman now.
Scotty, she giving you some from run for your money.
She got this sticking on the side of my head.
It's accountability. I can state where, you know what, maybe I was not giving you the space to actually state how you feel,
uh-huh.
but you also have to be accountable to say, you know what, actually, I did not express how
you
I
and the QC
truly felt.
Getty.
Both parties have to be able to admit when they were wrong.
That's
I like
some,
her.
Listen, I love her too, you know.
Friend, give Chris your number. We bringing you on the show.
Listen, I tell you that there are some women out here,
yes.
they ain't one saying that in. They ain't want to do nothing. They just expect you to do.
Yeah.
That says more about you than the woman. Because
what?
That's what you're attracted to yourself.
That's what you just say?
You are what you attract, eh?
Wow.
The question is, why do you feel like you need to still date that person?
See, we ain't going to go down this rabbit hole. I just scared back to the fact that there is a personal conviction of a man.
Scotty is crying, ladies and gents. Anyone within the sound of my voice, Randolph has tears in his eyes.
Seriously, she's good.
I can't believe what I hear.
I see this. Because they try to take blame for that. Nothing.
And she was smooth me. Oh, I wasn't engaged in her voice. Now she switched up.
It's the same thing for when women are in abusive relationships. What is the first thing that is said? Why did you stay in that relationship?
Right.
So,
but that's a personal choice. Once again,
It isn't a personal choice. Like, it's societal. It's societal because look at Tina. Okay, look at Tina Campbell. Tina stayed in that marriage. That man told her 80,000 times, I don't want you.
But she chose to stay.
No, he didn't choose to stay. He did not choose to stay. She kept nagging. She nagged that man to stay. He lost all of his respect for her. The minute you bring home a baby to me, you violate me. Kidding. Like Cindy Patrice say, you violate me. You violate that woman. You violate, then you bring the baby in the house. You add insult to injury when you listen, have a no way. There's no way
that a man nonsense that wants to do better,
garbage,
will do better.
I agree, but you're not. But you have not answered my question.
It starts with him.
No way, Kevin. You have not validated what I'm saying to you.
It's called a change of energy now.
No, because Kevin's talking foolishness.
You see that, right?
Chris, you laughing with them? Focus, Chris, man.
Chris, no one's scared away.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. I am your wife, bro. You bring home a baby to me. You add insult to injury by having a relationship outside of our marriage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm thinking everything is fine. I'm creating the space for you. Baby, you need anything. Anything you ask me to do, I'm doing. I want you to talk to me. You refuse to talk.
Did you have the baby?
I ain't talking to you yet. You go out there and you have a child in our marriage. You add insult to injury. And then you're saying to me unequivocally that it's my fault that you would have done this?
No, I'm not saying it's your fault that you've done that. I'm saying it's your fault if you choose to stay with him after that baby is brought home.
And this is my point to you. Tina's husband did all of these things to her, but that man lost all of his respect for that girl, and she kept that man showed her.
She has to take responsibility.
Both
parties have to take responsibility because, one, she basically begged somebody to stay in her
life
that she should not have. There are other people that probably would have, you know, been
left.
But what is so embarrassing?
Mind state and how she grew up.
But what is
there
so
probably a parent that she begged to.
Sweetie,
you know,
she's Mary. She won't sing on the Christian platform and pretend everything is la la re re and you dress up in the pink and he dress up in the pink. But what is more embarrassing is that the man, he filed for the divorce. He was like, listen, I didn't tell you I ain't on your run.
Yeah, men do that.
He shouldn't have had a child. Again, if we are all mature adults, we should be able to have a conversation and say, you know what, hey, I did love you, but currently I'm at a place where I've outgrown that.
Exactly.
I currently don't want to continue this relationship. We should get divorced.
You don't have to
have a child. You don't have to have a baby. It can end with mutual respect.
I hope there's a man calling this time.
Caller, I have to take my next call because it's a person still there. Oh, don't hang up. Chris is gonna take your number. Caller, good evening. You're on. Caller, good evening.
Hi, good evening. How are you?
Another woman. Another one bites the dust. Yay!
I don't know. Is it toss-up right now?
So this is a few weeks ago. Who told you that her and her spouse does this as a date? So we're on a date again this Tuesday.
I remember that.
That's the dating couple.
So today I heard you actually made a statement saying that can a man find a safe space in a woman?
Yes, that was a question.
And
yes.
We were just talking about it while you were having your conversation. And I asked him the question because I don't think he heard it. And he said, no, technically not, unless that man creates a safe space for the woman in order for her to understand him to create that safe space for him.
Where y'all having dinner? Let me come pay for this food. Where are y'all? Like, coming to pay. I bring in my card. We kick where y'all is.
The sun is already set, but we're sitting on the beach and we're just watching the waves and the birds fly around.
Now let me buy you a 3-piece Kentucky man.
Is that a reverse Uno card, way?
Reverse Uno, but like,
the woman can do it, but the man gotta do it for you.
No, but her husband said
he threw it to her, she threw it right back.
The husband said if the woman create the space, if he create the space for her, she created a space for him. You hear what they say?
That's a reverse. You know, you do it, I do it.
But the end result is we both have a safe space in each other. You see that?
Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
You
agree.
See that?
I agree with that.
Come on, man. Cognitive dissonance right here, friend.
The fact that you're all on the beach chilling, I give you all kudos to that.
Friend, if you ever see me in person, hail me.
We will.
Listen, I'm having an event on May the 3rd. Faith over fear. I need you in the space. I need you to be in that space, my girl.
Listen, yeah, we need women of wisdom.
We heard about your November. Y'all saying, have y'all men yes. October, November. And he's saying, oh, November. Let it be November.
Yeah, we can make it in November. But we did it before, you know. But this time we're going to do it from a barbershop or we're going to do it from an eatery. But we are going to do it. But I want you to be at Faith Over Fear May the 3rd. Look for me on Facebook, Mummy Hustle, so you can get all of the information.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And tell husband I owe him a 3-piece KFC.
Y'all wait. Spicy. Y'all wait till the sun go down and go skinny dip now.
Listen, Scotty. We have another caller on the line. Caller, good evening.
Boy, Scotty.
Oh, Alpha Male, it's you?
I hear them woman was trying to do y'all in.
You all going to prayer meeting yet?
Sit up and dial this number.
You all going to prayer meeting?
Man, I ain't feeling up to the mark today, but I couldn't let y'all do that to Scotty, them all them women calling. But listen to me, my friend Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
I hear you talking about men, a man bringing a baby home in the marriage.
Yes.
How many women carry children home in the marriage?
All of them people who used to live off of East Street and Cambridge Lane. All of them. All of y'all. All of y'all.
Got multiple lives.
All of y'all do it.
They don't live together.
If DNA was out back then, y'all had been in trouble.
If Maury, what you think if Maury comes to the Bahamas?
Ain't nobody daddy is their daddy.
Yeah, boy.
We'll have a problem.
We'll call him along to one.
Remember the lady who went in the house in Kennedy Subdivision or Golden Gates, and she said, he is a roll. Remember that during COVID?
Who was the roll?
This woman, she was rowing somebody at the kitchen door, and she said, he is a roll. The man said, this is not my son, and the lady said, he is a roll. He is a roll. You don't remember that?
But listen to me.
Tell me.
I am now confused because I used to talk to a lady that works at Bahama in the casino.
Right.
She said, there's one of your brothers work in this casino.
Mm-hmm.
I say, my brother, I never know. Say, this got to be your daddy's son. I say, well, I don't know your daddy. I don't know my daddy like that.
Right.
She say, come. I went there to pick up one day. She went to call, bring the fella from outside.
Right.
Now, I ain't get no full lips. I get big lips.
Right.
That's the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I get nice sleepy eyes, they say.
Oh.
The fella look just like me, honestly. Right. But Livingston Coakley is his daddy.
You sure?
I mean, prior times I asked my mommy if she know Livingston Coakley. My mommy died on me.
Oh.
I don't know. But then they show him was his daddy. I never hear my mommy say, honey, I'm all the time. I used to hear about Livingston Coakley.
You get to ask her, mommy, she died on me.
She takes that. Yeah, before I get to ask her, you know, you'll build up some nerve to ask your parents certain things.
Yeah.
You can't just jump up and say, you know, one time, and I'm on national radio, and God be my heavenly judge, I won't lie. One time, I asked my mother who my daddy was,
mm-hmm.
and I was but 7. I never asked her that no more. But the answer she gave me. So you ever go to bed hungry? You ever go to school dirty?
Right.
What you want my daddy for?
Oh, boy.
Now all the little children bragging about them and their daddy being on the beach and them and their daddy. So I only wanted to know who my daddy was.
My Lord on today.
I found out who he was. I mean, the man, I was 26. It was exactly 3 weeks before my wedding.
Wow.
And I only go on to invite him to the wedding because I wanted a picture with him and my mommy.
Wow.
The man ain't sure because he must have thought I would ask him for something. He's sure.
My mom found out very late in her age, her age as
but,
well.
But I can go lay back down because I take a little bit of meds, but I can continue listening.
We appreciate it. I want you to feel better, okay?
Yeah, man. We'll do.
All right. Thank you so much for calling. Good
appreciate
evening.
Appreciate you calling.
Guys, we are over time. We 10 minutes over time. Chris looked like he have a hot date. Chris been laughing the entire show.
Yeah, Chris.
Chris, we have a next caller. We could take this caller before you leave. Good evening, caller. You're on. Good evening. Hello.
What ain't there?
Our caller is
probably gone. Was probably was a woman. Ooh.
We had plenty of women callers tonight.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I appreciate them trying to turn the tables.
I like that.
I hope that one. I hope she leave a number. She need to come on for real, boy.
Scotty. Scotty.
I ready for.
Scotty. Scotty, I love my couple. My couple that goes on date night on Tuesday nights and listens to us. I love this for me.
They probably still out there like a parcel there.
Scotty, what kind of car you think they driving?
I know, but I just look for two people sitting on the beach.
I can look for two people.
I can go by KFC, buy something, and be like, hey, Scotty, where y'all at?
Get him a trippy spicy.
No, my lady, no, it's spicy.
You gotta make it hot, make it like sexy.
You know, I remember when a bucket of chicken was $9.
Boy,
$20.
You remember when they had the good apple pie?
Oh yeah, McDonald's, the real apple pie.
You stuff apple in it.
Yeah, not this foolishness now.
Not the tissue paper with accent doing nonsense.
I had some real apple pie. Let me give a shout out to Lickety Split. I ain't gonna lie, it was actually pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, with a piece of some chocolate ice cream.
Okay. Well, guys, you have 30 seconds, Scotty. And Kevin, you have 30 seconds, and then I will close out.
Let's just say this was a great show. I mean, just, you know, to all the women in the 242, I mean, those short ones that like to beat mine, please don't do it. Those ones that like to get in the man face, please stop it. And for those men, remember, real man don't argue with women. Don't run on with a woman. Walk away. If you put your hand on him, you can see Kevin. That's all it is.
That's it.
I want to say that there are, the culture is shifting where we are now being made more aware that men suffer from abuse in all facets as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there are avenues. You can call the station. There's a domestic violence unit. And it is not just for women. It is also for men. Their job is to at least hear you out.
Mm-hmm.
So put your pride aside. If your woman has beat you, call the police.
Call the police.
If she's talked to you and you feel like your response mightn't be wholesome or lawful, call the police.
But we have not resolved the point yet for the night, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
As to how men are supposed to seek help. What is a safe space? We gonna have to finish this conversation because we ain't get to that.
That's what I can say with this. You have to want better for yourself first. We can put all the horses to the well,
mm-hmm.
but we can't make the horses drink.
Yeah.
My daddy was never there.
Mm-hmm.
I say that on the radio. He was never there.
You're right.
But I made a choice for myself, for my daughter.
To be there.
I will always be there.
Understood.
And so that is what I'm saying when I say you could have all the tools, but you got to make a choice within yourself to use the tools.
Absolutely.
And that's just one side of the coin, but everything starts with an individual that wants to do better.
Understood.
Agreed.
Understood. You have to want it.
Yeah.
You have to want it.
And I don't agree that with the one caller that said it is a disease. I don't think it is a disease. But
that's mental health is a thing. That may be factored in because, like I said, it's more than one way.
Yeah,
or more than one variable.
Right.
It isn't the deciding and the way he presented it.
He had a lot of great points, but I think
a lot with the mental health thing. I think
some people
are on the edge.
A crutch, though.
I don't know.
I think some people use it as a crutch, an excuse to get away with foolishness.
Yeah.
Maybe
you know what you was doing.
Maybe or maybe not.
No,
right?
I know. Kenny, I believe a lot of people they're very cognizant of what they're doing,
the choices that they make.
But at the end of the day, if I say something wrong to me, you know, people are gonna say, oh, okay, cool.
Well, yeah. I look at it from my perspective, right? And I can only look at it from a female perspective. And there are a few things that I wanted to touch on that we did not get on because our callers were really rampant today, and I love that, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. But we don't think that mental health is a real thing. We don't look at the fact that as a woman, or for me as a woman, I go through 8,000 things in one day. I'm going through menopause. I got to make sure my daughter get her schoolwork done. I have to make sure that the house is right. I already started. I have to look after my husband, take care of me. Do I put myself last? Do I make sure I work to get this next job? Do I do this? Do I do that? If a woman had to write down all of the things that she has to do in a day, our list is never ending. But I do think, and I thought about it this morning as I was getting up, we are in a cycle, like we are on a hamster on a wheel, because we get up and we do the same thing over and over and over. Get up, get the child ready, make a cup of tea, put the pancake in the thing, take the child to school, bathe, wash, cook, iron, clean, Sunday go to church, make a pot of we are like we never decompress. Right. And mental health is real. Like you go through grief of your loss of your parent, or you go through grief of a loss of a relationship. But does anyone ever have an opportunity to like detox, really detox?
To rest.
You gotta make that time. You have to make that time. But I also think that there's to be a constitution where we have mental health, because
I did hear, shout out to Miss Clover, I did hear her mention mental health days.
Yes, she did.
That's a thing.
It is, but we need more people to understand that, though.
No,
we need more of us to understand that.
We have to take that seriously.
You have to, because
your job isn't to just work to the ground.
Until you die.
Yeah, that's insane.
My mother never got to enjoy her retirement, you know.
A lot of people ain't living to retirement.
They're not. But what I want us to look at, too, is that you could get more out of a person if you give them, because work is stressful. More out of a person if you say to them, listen, you can't come in 9, all right, then come in 10. You can wait 10 to 6. You're going to pick up your child. Women want the opportunity to go pick up your child from school, come back to work. You create a safe space for the children to do their homework, little afternoon, whatever.
But women
need space.
I think that we would do well if, because a lot of women are single parents.
Inland Revenue Services says that 90% of the incomes are from single women, friend.
Yeah, but make a nursery department.
But we have to levy
you
for
take,
that.
Take your lunch break, go pick up your child, get some lunch, come back to work. We have qualified people here to watch your child so you don't miss work. You can do your job and you don't got to worry about the safety of where it is.
Listen, next election, I run in. Next election, I run in, and I run in on that platform.
So the couple sitting on the beach, y'all are a perfect example of, I call it...
A unified front, but
y'all have to take the time to decompress, and that's what more people need to do.
You have to find time for your loved one because you run in a race every day.
No, but what they're doing, even if they do it individually, but the fact that they're doing it as a couple.
I love it.
More people. I take my days where I sit down and I just, you know, like my phone off and I on the beach with my beer, my cigar, and I speak.
Could I tell you, and somebody called me to do a baby shower. I'm not doing no more baby showers because baby showers are too time taxing. And body extensive. The mother to be don't come till 5 hours late. You got to ooh and ah. I'm not doing any of that anymore.
Yeah, but so Sunday.
Sunday is my day for my family. I don't care what it is.
I didn't even know that people still do baby showers.
I didn't know.
They still do.
I haven't been to baby shower in a long time.
They still do, but in any event, we are wrapping, and I want to make a clarion call for all the women. Within the sound of my voice, I'm having my Faith Over Fair event again. Mm-hmm. And it's on May the 3rd at Charlottesville Clubhouse at 11 o'clock in the morning. There will be a clinical psychologist and psychiatrist, a mental doctor. We're going to have a lawyer. We're going to have a fitness expert. And we're going to have a financial expert. This time, for the very, very first time, I'm going to walk you through a little bit of my story and let you know how I handle grief and loss and going through divorce and finding love and just trying to maneuver and MacGyver my way through life. But it's May 3rd, and if you go on to Mommy Hustle on my Facebook page or look for IQ Kenny on Facebook, you can find me, or Instagram or TikTok. But
OnlyFans?
Never. I'd like women to be in the space, and it's only for women, but it's in commemoration of my mother. It's called Faith Over Fair, Dear Lady, and so that is what I'm doing on May the 3rd at 11 a.m. at Charlottesville Clubhouse.
Come out and support, ladies.
Yes, I would love, and you have to wear like shades of pink or blush, all right? So expect to be...
What color is blush?
Yeah.
It's the same color I have on now.
That's blush.
This is blush.
Pink. I look like pink to me.
It's blush.
It's pink.
It's blush.
It's pink.
But again, ladies, it's not an event. Man. It's an activation, and it's not a motivational speaking. It's not an event at all.
I might show my face.
Scotty can bring me 2 bags of ice.
Men invited to this?
Yeah. Well, my husband will be there.
First, I didn't say if your husband could be there. I say if men invited to this.
Come, Kevin.
I'm coming there.
I'll bring a bottle of champagne.
Scotty came to my karaoke last week. Kevin, you don't reach yet.
Hey, can I sing?
Kevin, Scotty surely didn't sing. Ladies and gents, you've been listening to Kenny's Corner. And this is another opportunity for us to have the real dialogue. You can't conquer what you don't confront. So tonight is another sexy, breezy, balmy beach night. My two people on the beach, we love y'all for that.
You know what y'all doing later.
So take this opportunity to put your foot over that man and let that man put his leg over you. Get you some popcorn and some wine.
Take off that dress.
And turn off the lights and light a candle. It's another sexy Tuesday.
A silky moo-moo.
Yeah.
Guardian Radio 96.9.
Make sure bed though.
Fresh news, smart talk all day. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back next week, Tuesday. Looks like another love TKO.